Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Being Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. You know, before we read verses 8 through 14 in Romans chapter 8, one of the things that I've come to an understanding in 35 years of walking with God is the empowerment that's given by the Holy Spirit. You know, there are things that we cannot do without Him. The Bible says we can't do nothing without Him despite of ourselves. And there are issues, whether you come across them early in your walk, in the middle of your years, or toward the present, that arise. And sometimes they become challenging. Sometimes they're afflictions. Sometimes they're emotions. Sometimes they are relational. Sometimes they're financial. Whatever the case may be, we're always going to be challenged. But one thing that I found in my walk with God is when you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, those things that become so enormous to us become so minute. Because when the power of God hits us, we realize that we are just pilgrims passing through. That this too shall pass. That whatever challenges we face, yes, we face them in real time and we have to go through. But yet there is hope, a lively hope, when we're through with that trial, when we're through whatever is afflicting us. Because there's always going to be the greater good in Christ. And when He's living inside, we can be led by Him. We can be empowered by Him. We can learn to trust in Him. And that's the key to any Christian's walk, is learning to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your path. It's Christian 101. When you start learning to take in the Word, and this is what I love about Wednesday nights, because this is expository teaching, line by line. We go book by book. And so we don't leapfrog over any scriptures. Amen? Amen? When we get to that scripture, we got to talk about it. We got to address it. Sundays are topical. You know, well, it could be a wonderful message. Sometimes it could be a convicting message. Sometimes it's an edifying message. But when we go expository teaching, it takes on a different dynamic, I believe. It really does. And so, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 8 through 14. And here we go. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S. That means Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Wow, that's pretty profound. Because there's a lot of Christians that say, I'm a Christian. But if the Holy Spirit's not living inside them, he's none of his. He's cut and dry with this. That's why you must be born again. You must receive Christ. He can't be someone that we just invoke. We can't just say Jesus by cliche. We got to know that we're born of God. We're born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now look at verse 10 up here. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. So there is nothing unholy about God. He is the epitome of righteousness. He is righteous all by himself and holy. Look at this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, the same Holy Ghost that raised up Jesus from the dead on the third day is the same Holy Spirit that lives in us that'll take us out of this earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit. And guess what? He chose to live inside of us. How many are so blessed to know that? He chose to live inside of you. Wow. Look at this. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And this is where people that do not have the Holy Spirit, but are... I like my brother preached a message when we had our first men's here many years ago. He preached a message, name tag Christians. In other words, we put on the badge of Christ, but Christ is not living inside. We just, yeah, I'm a Christian. You talk to a lot of people, yeah, I'm a Christian. But have you really been born again? Look at this. Because this is going to really look deeper into what I'm talking about. Therefore, brethren, we are not what? We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body and will live. Wow. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So this is very accurate. This is so spot on when he says, If we are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Turn to your neighbor and says, you are son and daughters of God. Because when it talks about sons, that includes the women too. Amen? So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, saints, the sinful nature cannot submit to God because it is the seat of indwelling sin and is always hostile to God. Did you know your flesh is hostile to God? Oh, come on. You know, when we have ungodly thoughts and they come out of nowhere, or a moment of anger rises up and we even curse in our mind, right? Did you know that's hostile toward God? It's hostile toward God. And he lives inside of us. Figure that one out. That's right. Living in sin, following one's own desires, and disregarding God boils down to hostility toward him. So you got to be careful on people that you know without a shadow of a doubt, cursing comes out of their mouth. You ever been around people that curse? Something's out of order. Something ain't right. Someone is void of the Holy Spirit living inside. Because if God is living inside, you will bless and proclaim him. And you'll want to exalt him. But then there's folks, man, they'll chew you out like a drunken sailor. And leave you there to bleed. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse my French. You ever hear that? Every person not united to Christ is thoroughly controlled by the sin's power. By sin's power. And so, saints of God, those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God because they are interested only in themselves and have cast aside the one and only power that can defeat sin. Let me ask this question tonight, and this is those who we want to welcome Facebook and YouTube, those who are watching. But let me ask this question of what I just said. Have you cast aside God to pursue other desires that just want to please you? In other words, do you wake up not even thinking about God? Do you go through the day without even a devotional time without Him? Do you go for one moment to not even think about Him, but you think about everything else? So this is where a born-again Christian will always be thinking of God. Well, you know why? Because the Spirit of God lives in him. And when he's living inside you, I think of God every day. And I've never once, I'm hoping I can say that, or you can say that of yourself. Never once I got mad at God. I never once thought that he was unfair. Never once I thought that he decided unjustly toward the things that I've said or did. No, that's quite opposite. He loves us with an everlasting love. Does he chastise us? Yes, as believers, he chastises us when we, what? Walk out of order. But thank God he chastises us. Because what if he didn't? What does the King James Version say? If he does not chastise us, we're a bunch of what? That's King James. Look at your King James Bible. We're illegitimate. We're not his. So put it this way. For those who continually just do whatever they please in life, you got to ask the question, are you really his? On my license plate, it says Romans 8:9. You see my license plate? That's what we just read, Romans 8:9. And I have it for a reason. Because people have asked, what does that mean? And so I explain that there are people that walk around that don't have Christ in them, living in them. And so guess what that means? That means you are not of his. Until you become born again, you will not be in the family of God. You won't even get into heaven. None of that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus stands at the gate. He is the door. And the only way to get to heaven is through him. No one else. And so, I'm hoping that this will enlighten us tonight. That maybe those who are watching truly never opened up their heart and gave and surrendered totally to the Lord. Because it's all about lordship. See, he's our Savior, but is he your Lord? Are you catching that? Is he your Lord and Savior, or he's just your Savior? Yeah, I said a prayer and I'm saved now. But is he your Lord? Okay. So the mind directed by the sinful nature can only be devoted to its own self-gratification, which will end up leading in destruction. This is why Paul wrote to the Colossian church. Look what he wrote right up here in Colossians 1:10. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. This is now how we should walk as believers. I know it's tough, but guess what? With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. We can learn to please him. Look at this. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Tonight, you're here in this Bible study for what? Increasing your knowledge of God. Or being reminded how good he is. Or being reminded what he saved us from. Because he's a good God. He's a mighty God. Look at this. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. It's all about him. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. God is so patient, and yet we are to be patient with joy. Or are you one of these type of persons that, I want it right now?
No, I want it yesterday.
Oh, yes. You know, that's why, I believe that's why man invented the microwave. Because they want their food hot now. Go ahead and put a bag of popcorn in there. As soon as it cools off, you'll be chewing leather. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
No one takes the time to put the butter in the pot and stir it up and just wait for it to start popping. That popcorn will taste so much better and will last so much longer. You see, my friends, every human being has a sinful nature. Every one of us that comes into this world. But believers in Christ have access to what? The Holy Spirit. The power of God. This is why we cannot walk in defeat anymore. Jesus says, I have overcome that you may have life, and life what? More abundantly. So we have abundant life through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul says, the Spirit of God lives in you. Believers are still in this flesh. How many believe that we're still going to be in this flesh until he comes for us? And once he comes for us, we will be transformed and we will change and be just like him. I can't wait for that moment. Unless you want to stay in this body. This body's fading away. Oh, that's right. I was 18 years old when my hair started falling out. 18. I go, oh my gosh, that's young. And yet, it's part of what? It's part of the human body that the moment we're born, we're living to die. You know that? The moment we're born is we're living to die. Going back to the dust. We're all going to get there one way. But here's the good news. Just our flesh is going back to the dust. Our soul and spirit will be with him. Amen?
Amen.
And so, because we are born again, we also have God's Spirit in us. The question is, which will be in control? What will be in control? Look what I found in 1 John right up here. Look at this. In 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we what? We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You want favor from God? Do things that please him in his sight. Are you one of those ones that when no one's around, you kick the dog?
No.
You curse people out. And then you you come to church, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do it in a facetious way, but you know what?
It's true.
Sometimes it's true. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it's true. So let's move on to verse 9 of Romans chapter 8. Look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what? Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Here's the key. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay, so, you know what this tells me? Those who say, everyone around the world that say they're Christians, not all are going in. Can I get an amen? Not all are going in. In contrast to those still controlled by their sinful nature, believers are not controlled by our sinful nature when we have yielded control to the Spirit of God. See, we can yield to the Spirit of God because he lives in us. That's why we've been reading that Paul understood there's a war now in my members. That's why he says that what I do, I don't. And that's what I don't do, I do. So it's a good fight. Let me just say this. If you're battling, whatever the case may be, with the spirit and the flesh, that's a good sign that you haven't surrendered. Because we're going to battle until he comes for us. There's no one is perfect. Can I get an amen? No one will be perfect until he becomes, or the perfect one comes, and then we become just like him. And to not have the Spirit of Christ means not to be a Christian. Now, I got another reference that proves that. Another reference that proves what I'm saying here. It's found in John 3. Look at this.
John 3,
5 through 7. Look at this. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be what?
Born again.
You have to be born again. And where does that second birth come from? It comes from above. It comes from heaven. It's the Holy Spirit that comes. Right? Because we've been born here on the earth. We've been born from below once in our flesh. But then to be born again comes the Holy Ghost to come upon us. And he does a marvelous job. He's the one that transforms us. He's the one that gives us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He's the one that cleanses our mouth. He clears out our vocabulary. You ever deleted things on a computer screen? You delete it, you put them in the trash bin. But you can put them in the trash bin, but still retrieve it. In order to not retrieve it, you have to delete what's in the trash bin. That's what he does. When the Holy Spirit comes, he deletes everything like that. Hallelujah. So that you can walk in the joy of the Lord. You can walk in holiness. Look what I found in Titus 3:5. Look at this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through how? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You see, we had to be renewed. We had to become like our spirit had to be regenerated. Because before you come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into this world unregenerated. Not having knowledge of God, being an enemy to the cross, cursing, being profane, being caught in every manner of iniquity. And then when Jesus comes, hallelujah, thank you, God. He drives out the darkness. Can I get amen?
Amen?
He sets us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Praise God. And many of us have been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are witnesses now. How many are so blessed to be a witness? When people watch your life, they should already have come to a conclusion. They're a Christian. They are Christians. They're not like us. Can I get amen? And not that we are better. Not that we are in a higher stature than them. No. We have now the Spirit of God living in us. And we are witnesses to them. That God showed mercy to us and wants to show you mercy. No differently. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And all we got to do is pray and fast. Say, God, save them. Save them. Save them, oh God. And God, guess what? God is faithful. Let's move on to verse 10 of Romans chapter 8. Look at this. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what?
Righteousness.
You see, saints of God, Christ's Spirit lives within our human spirits, but our fleshly bodies are still infected by sin and eventually will die. Listen, we only go for so many years and then we deteriorate and we go back to the dust. I don't know how many funerals I've done this year. There's quite a few funerals. Praise God, my dad, when he got saved at the age of 80, he sat right here in this front row when he got saved, and God gave him another 16 years. He died at 96. But when he got saved, because my dad, let me just say this, my dad had nothing to do with the Word of God, nothing to do with Christianity. He would always tell me, and I, you know, growing up in our home, he never lost his accent. You know, Filipinos, they have that accent. And he used to always tell me, Placido, you got your religion. I got mine. And I could never get him to go to church. Never. And then one day, Pastor Leo Giovanetti at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, we were 3,000 deep over there. And Pastor Leo approached me and said, hey, Fee, I'm going to be out of town. Do you want to teach a Bible study for me on a Wednesday night? I looked at him like a deer was caught in the headlights. I was saying to myself, he's got 7 pastors. I'm just the home fellowship teacher. But he came and asked me, and I said, well, I'm going to say no. I had to be obedient. I said, okay. So then once I knew I was going to teach on a Wednesday night, and it was at the United Methodist Church across from Sales. You know where Sales, remember Sales Restaurant? Right across the 8 freeway on the hill, there's a United Methodist Church. We were renting that facility on Wednesday nights, and that facilitated about 900 seats. So do the math, 3,000 on Sunday, 500 would come out on Wednesday night. Big church. And I was scared, I was nervous. But my brother Dale came to my dad's house and said, Dad, Fee's going to preach for the first time at the church. You got to come. And so I don't know what he did to convince my dad to come, but he came. And so I gave a message, and I gave an altar call, and people were coming up to the altar, because it was like a whole bunch of people in there. And then I looked way back in the back of the church, and there were 2 coming up. And I looked harder. It was my brother walking up my dad. And I beelined, man. I got off the stage. I beelined. And as soon as I got close, my dad was just crying. I said, oh, Dad, thank you for coming. I go, what can I pray for? He goes, Placido, I wanted to get saved. Amen.
Jesus.
Man, I led him in the sinner's prayer. And the following Friday, I baptized him in the jacuzzi. And the Holy Ghost fell on him. And he was never the same. He sat right there. Every Wednesday, every Sunday, he was at Mission Valley with us. And then he was there with us when we started our new church. He was there all the whole time for 16 years after he got saved at the age of 80. He was on fire for God. And we saw a miracle. We saw, man, it's never too late. Listen, it's never too late. If you have parents, grandparents, it's never too late. See, the devil will try to convince you it's too late. But you need to remind the devil, no, it's too late for you, because you're about ready to get cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Can I get an amen? You got to remind yourself, and you got to remind people that so-and-so, it's never too late for them. God will have mercy on whom he'll have mercy. And he saved my dad. He saved my dad. And my dad was there at Sarah Mesa Christian Fellowship when I got ordained. My dad was there in the front row clapping. Clapping. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Those are wonderful memories. But you know what? It was all God. Let me just say this. You give your heart to God, he will do the miraculous in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He will make the crooked things in your life straight. He will bless you from the guttermost to the uttermost, because we serve a mighty God. Come on, give God a shout of praise tonight. He's worthy. And so sin has been defeated by Christ, but sin and death still claim their hold on our mortal bodies. Okay, these mortal bodies will still go down to the ground. Can I get amen? Yet, in these bodies, we are alive spiritually and can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will guide us. How many are so blessed to know that God guides us? Look what I found in John 17 right up here. Look at this. In John 17, 23. Look at this. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me and have loved them as you have what? Loved me. Praise God. Praise God. You see, God, for God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Also look at this in Galatians 2:20 up here. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives in me. Turn to your neighbor and say, Christ lives in you. The hope of glory. The hope of glory. He lives in us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He lives in us. Thank you, God. So it says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Praise God. See, we have a story now. We have something to offer the world. We can tell people that you don't have to go to hell. You know hell's a real place? I hope you know it. It's a real place. But we don't have to go there no more. Why? Because of Christ, the hope of glory. He died for us. And He surrendered His life for us, that we may live, hallelujah, with Him forever. How many want to live with Him forever?
Amen.
Then give Him a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's move on now to verse 11. Look at this. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life to what? To your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So saints, in addition, we are promised the physical resurrection of our bodies into eternal life. How many can't wait to be in that brand new body? Come on, we have to come to a conclusion. This one is failing us. We struggle with all kinds of medical conditions now, especially as you get older. If you're a young buck, that's okay. You know, you'll get past 30, then you'll get past 40, and then that's when things start happening. When you get to your 50s, and then your 60s. Oh, that's right. Things start falling apart now. Oh, that's right. Oh, come on. Can I get amen? And so, just like it says here, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So, the Holy Ghost that lives within us is the hope of glory. So when you receive Christ by faith and you give Him your heart, He gives you a heart of flesh and He gives you His Spirit. The Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many are so blessed to know that when you became born again, you are, from that moment on, you are His forevermore. And He's got a tailor-made body just for you. Oh, that's right. I've already imagine my new body. It'll have hair on it.
Me too.
It'll be maybe 60, 70 pounds lighter. It'll look like it's 30 again. And it'll live forever. It'll live forever. Hey, you know what? So, I've spoken to, I don't know how many believers, so many people that are believers. An unbeliever never had this same type of dream. But you ever dream that you were flying?
Yeah.
That you were just soaring?
Mm-hmm.
And that you can fly and then just come down and walk and then take off and fly again. I've had at least 20, 30 of those dreams throughout my life. And I've come to a conclusion that is a foreshadow of the new body when we get the new body. Because that new body will not be confined by gravity. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Oh, that's right. The Bible says we will be changed and we will be like what? Like Him. I got some proof on that. I got proof. Look at this. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall what? All be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall but what? Be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, this flesh that we live in right now, must put on incorruption. Meaning it's going to be a body that will live forever. This one won't. This is a corruptible body. It's still corrupted. But it says, for this corruptible, touch your flesh right here. It's corruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, meaning it's limited in time, we only live so many years and then we got to go back to the ground. I'm just breaking this down for you. This mortal must put on what? Immortality, meaning to live forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
How many can't wait for that new body? Oh, come on. It's promised. It's a promise from God. And it'll live forever. And this is why I truly believe those dreams, that I've had over 20 of them in my life, of flying, just walking and then just soaring. And then coming down and walking again. And then just getting up and soar. I believe God was giving me a foreshadow of the new body. Because they won't be confined to gravity. Can I get an amen? The reason why we're confined to gravity, because if we float away, we'll die. We'll run out of oxygen. We'll get too high in the atmosphere. And then we'll be disintegrated by the sun. So we're confined to this earth. In these bodies, but not the new one. How many can't wait for the new one? It's a promise. So the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead will also what? Give life to us. So there is a wonderful hope even for our prone to decay bodies. Look at what it says right up here in Acts 2:24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was possible that he should be held by it. And so, let's move on now to verse 12 in Romans chapter 8. Look at this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Aren't you so blessed that at the very end of our life, we got a joyous hope? Whether we die in this flesh, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if Christ comes and we hear the trumpet sound, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with Him. I want to be caught up. I've been asking God this, and it's selfish of me. I think sometimes we ask God for selfish things, don't we? Okay, I'm telling on myself. But I say, God, don't let me experience physical death. Take me from while I'm still alive. In other words, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who already have gone on, He's going to raise up their new bodies from the ground, and they're going to be changed. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. So we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That is faster than the speed of light. We will be changed and we will be like him. We will never have a corrupt body no more. We won't have a corrupt mind. We will have no sin in our mortal being. How many can't wait to have a body without any sin? All the cursing, all the images that we have, all the sin that we can scheme up in our mind will be gone. Woo! How many can't wait for that? That's going to be a body that God promises us. That's the new body. And so I can't wait for that one. How many can't wait for that one? Look at that. Saints, because of all that Christ has done and is going to do for you and me, we are under no obligation whatsoever to do with the sinful nature that urges us to do. Look at this. In Romans, I found this in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. Well, look at this. Not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
We're under God's grace right now. How many so blessed? Because if we were under the law, we would already been judged. We would already been hung. We would already been dead. We would have been executed by God already. Can I get amen? But his grace has stepped over all of our sins and has covered us. He has shielded us. The blood. It's the blood. The blood. Amen. The blood. We are to refuse the drives and desires of our still attractive but crucified sinful nature. Listen, until we get the new body, we're still going to crave for things that are ungodly. We're still going to think of ungodly things. How many of you on your most holy day, praising God, just filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you come down a little bit, you go home, and then all of a sudden, an ungodly thought comes out of nowhere. Okay, that's just me. Right? That's just me. It don't happen to you guys. You guys are the holy ones. No, we all. Every one of us, right? Until we get that new body, we're always going to be battling. The flesh is always going to be battling the spirit. And there's a war going on. Amen? There's always going to be a war. And so, we are to refuse the drives and the desires of our still attractive but crucified sinful nature. We just got to learn how to crucify those things. We have to come to a place where we say, no, flesh, I'm not going to let you have that no more. I'm not going to look at that stuff no more. I'm not going to listen to that stuff no more. I want to put pure things, holy things. I want to be in your word. I want to treat people with love. Oh God, control my tongue. You know, we could get mad and heated and boom, say things that, well, wait a minute. The last thing we want is someone that don't know God, but knows that you're walking with God. The last thing we want to hear is, I thought you were a Christian. And you're saying all these things. What witness is that? We lose our testimony, don't we? And so, look at this. Look at what I found in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Look at this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before. This is a race. Listen, getting saved is one thing, but now we're in a race to finish it. Can I get amen? Amen. To complete the race. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so until we get changed, we're going to be in a battle. But let me just say this. The battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. Can I get an amen? Amen? If you defer everything to God, God, take this from me. Oh God, help me here. Oh God, be my defender. Oh God, keep me from these evil things. When you go to God with those heartfelt issues, he will strengthen you. He will help you. But if we shove them aside and we wallow in our sin, we're on our own. We're on our own. Is he still merciful? Yes. Will he still save your bacon? Yes. But why play Russian roulette with him? Can I get amen? Why take that risk? And so the old sinful nature may present its demands based upon the past, but we have no obligation to cooperate with it any longer. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, if God delivered you in areas of your life, why are you going back to the vomit? The Bible says it's like going back to... You ever see a dog that'll barf and then it goes back and laps it back up? Well, guess what? When we go back to our old sin, it's no different. God looks at it like that. And so we need to press. Say that with me. Press. Because Paul wrote to the Philippian church right up here. Look at this. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, what? As many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of what? The same mind. And that's the mind of Christ. Having the same mind. Let me just say this. We need to become in us. We're not in this walk all by ourselves. There are times I need you. There are times you need me. Can I get amen? We need each other in this war. This is not a one-man show. We're not on an island all by ourselves. Man, sometimes men, if you're struggling with issues, call a brother that you can trust. He can pray for you. Sisters, call a sister. Say, you know what? I'm struggling in this area. Help me. And knowing that they can be trusted and they'll pray for you. You won't be on the 5 o'clock news. Can I get amen? Amen. Someone that you could trust. I don't know how many times we have met people at this table because they trust us. They trust us that we could pray for them. Show them ways how they can be overcomers through the Word of God and by trusting in the Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Live. Praise God. Look what we remember back, I believe it's a couple of chapters back. I found this. We read this. But let's look at it again in Romans 6:22. Look at this. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, this should be like a Super Bowl for us, knowing that our sins have been washed away. Amen. Did you know there's nothing, no entity that can take away our sins other than the blood of Jesus? What could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was his shed blood on Calvary. Hallelujah. That saved a wretch like us. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why we need to wake up every morning and be thankful. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, that you saved me. Thank you, God, that you saved my wife, my son, my brother, my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ. When we come together on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we look around and we look at what God has done. Look what God has done in your life. Look what God has done in my life. We should be joyful people. Can I get amen? Amen. We should never walk around, woe is me. Oh, no. You should walk around and say, God has freed me. God has given me eternal life. God, hallelujah, has my name already forever sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. How many are so blessed to know that? If you're blessed to know that, give them a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. I can talk about him all night long. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy to be praised. And so, saints, our sinful nature shows itself through the vehicle of our flesh. Because we still live in this body of flesh. Therefore, we must turn from the following the sinful nature and its evil deeds. Because there's no good thing that dwells in my flesh. Did you know there's no good thing? Nothing. Other than that we need to bathe it every day. And we need to watch what we feed our flesh. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just now follow God. And he'll show us. What works for you may not work for me. But if we're following Christ, he will show us what we need to do. Yep. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Because guess what? We're all individually, yet corporately his. And he knows how to deal with us individually. Yep. Praise God. What stumbles me may not stumble you. Yeah. What stumbles you may not stumble me. But we still stumble on things.
Yeah.
And that's why we need God. That's why we always need him. This is why Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Look at this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who what? Lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. How many are so blessed to know that Christ didn't come through the law? Guess what? The law could not save us. The law pointed our sin out. The law condemned us. The law said you must die. But guess what Jesus did? Hallelujah. There's the law. He stepped over it.
Hallelujah.
And said, come, my brother. Come, my sister. I'm going to save you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, give God a hand clap tonight. Woo, he's so worthy. He's so worthy. See, this is an action to be done. A moral decision to be made. Every day, we are to turn away from the desires that draw us away from God. Your battle may not be my battle. And my battle may not be your battle. But we all have battles. Can I get amen? We all have battles. And there's some things that God has given us victory over. And those things may still be a struggle to you. Or vice versa. They're still a struggle to me. But guess what? We have Christ now. We have his power.
Yes.
We have his word. And we got each other to pray for.
Yeah.
If you can't come to your brothers, if you can't come to your sisters, to ask for prayer and to keep things under wrap, then who else do we got? We need each other. I hope you know we need each other. That's what we're called, the body of Christ.
Yes.
Can I get amen? You ever jammed your toe at night, didn't see the coffee table? Huh? And just admit, the whole body hurts. Well, listen, when we hurt, the whole body hurts. The body needs to come together and pray. You need to come and pray. Oh God, will you pray for me? And listen, when you come to the altar or things of that nature, one of the things, you don't have to get explicit. God already knows what you're going through. Just come up and say, you know what? I'm battling with areas of my life. Pray for me. You don't have to be specific. Just say, I'm battling in this area. Pray for me. Pray for me. That's all you got to do. And we pray. Can I get an amen? Oh, God, help whatever he is going through, what she's going through. Strengthen that person. Can I get an amen? Let them have victory over it.
Amen.
We don't need to be tell bearers. And you got to watch what you share with others.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Watch what you share with others. Because you may walk back in church the next week and everyone turns and looks at you. Whoa, help us God. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You ever tell people that don't know God the things of God, they look at you with a puzzled look, and they want to change the conversation. Why? Because the Word of God says right there, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are what? Spiritually what? Discerned. But look at verse 15 up here. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Let me just say this, saints. Never judge anyone. Don't you judge anyone. You know why? Because the same judgment you mete out to someone will be met out to you. Someone's struggling, pray for them. Don't be a tell bearer. Don't be telling the whole church or telling someone, well, guess what? No. If you know someone's going through an issue, you pray, oh God, strengthen that person, God. Help that person, God. Lord, that they would that they would be delivered, God. We have to learn how to have a heart like Jesus. The only issue that Jesus had was with the Pharisees, the Sadducees. The religious folks. See, religion will crush you in a heartbeat. But a relationship with God will bring life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Come on. The Jews already considered themselves to be children of God because of their heritage. But Paul explains that the term has new meaning. A new meaning. Praise God. So let's move on to our last verse for the evening. And it's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, God will equip you. God will empower you. God will give you words of deliverance. You'll be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. And it's not you, it's Him. God just wants to use you as a vessel for His glory. And we can't take none of the glory. We can't say, oh, look, man, look, you know, come to my prayer line. Watch what happens. Oh, come on. God will allow you to eat some humble pie real quick. You may not like that humble pie. Can I get amen? Amen. It may not taste good. Yeah. I remember Dale and his friend Troy were at a church in National City. And there was a evangelist. He was going around the whole place. You want some of me? You want some of me?
No, I want Jesus.
They got up. They had to leave. Come on. Where's the humility? You want some of me? You mean you want some of Jesus?
That's right. That's where
we
go.
That's who you go to. It's not about you. It's about Him. Help us, God. You see, saints, true children of God are those who are what? Led by the Spirit of God as evidence in their lifestyle. You see, you know how you can tell someone that's saved? Seriously. You probably never hear them curse a word. Seriously. I'm only telling on myself. I've been 35 years walking with God. And I've been married 28 years. With Sister Yolanda. We just had our anniversary, August 3rd. Hallelujah. 28 years. And she has never heard me curse. She has never heard me curse. God's my witness. Holy Ghost is our witness. Why? Because when He came in with the Holy Ghost, He deleted that language. Not only did He put it in the trash bin, He deleted it out of the trash bin so it cannot be retrieved. Can I get an amen? When God comes in supernaturally and gives you His power, He will deliver you from the guttermost to the uttermost. And I boast in Him because it was Him who did it, not me. I didn't have to go to school and learn not to curse. I'd be the first one to curse. when I left the class. No, it's Him and Him alone. Can I get amen? Amen. He does the miraculous. Amen. And you got to give Him all the glory and all the praise. Why? Because it's Him who does all the work. Right. We're just vessels, broken vessels. We are the Humpty Dumpties of the world. Humpty Dumpty had a what? Sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. I can't remember. I still remember that one. Oh, the little guy. But God put us together. We boast in Christ. There's nothing for us to boast in. There's nothing that we did, hallelujah, that He did for us. He had mercy and grace. He could have left us out there on the street, living like a vagabond. He could have kept us out there. I shouldn't have been dead, caught up with drugs and alcohol back in my 30s and 40s. No, but you know what? Once He gets a hold of your heart, once He saves you, He does an inside job. Hallelujah. He cleanses the cup that's on the inside. Hallelujah. There's people that have cups that are clean outside, but inside, Jesus said, there are dead men's bones. It's filthy on the inside. You may come to church, pray the Lord. Hallelujah. And come home and kick the dog and curse out your soulmate. Bleepity bleep. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on. Oh, you don't know folks like that? Okay, good. I'm glad you don't. But it happens. It happens, right? But let me tell you this. When God gets a hold of your heart, He does what no one can do. He's the one that changes you. He's the one that drives out the darkness. He's the one that gives you light from above. He's the one that gives you a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He's the one that quickens us, makes us come alive unto Him. He's the one that draws us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is He and Him alone that walks with us, talks with us. He's the one that supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. It is Him alone that restores all things. He's the one that delivered us from drugs and alcohol and all manner of iniquity. He's the one that set our feet now on a straight and narrow path. Hallelujah. And you should love what He's doing in your life. If He's sanctifying you, you're setting aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you.
Thank you, Lord.
Then it's time to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
We got to continue to love Him, follow Him, bless Him, bless His house, bless the children of God,
amen.
And bless those around your sphere of influence. There are people in your life I will never meet and vice versa. But those are the people that are watching your life. You need to be a light before them. Can I get amen?
Amen?
They need to see Christ, the hope of glory, in you. Can I get amen?
Amen?
If they never come to church, guess what? You are their Bible study.
Yes.
Your life is. So let your light shine so bright,
amen,
that men will glorify God and say, man, only God can do that with you.
Amen.
They'll remember what you used to do. They'll remember what you used to chew. They remember what all these things. And now you're not cursing. You're not partying. You're not drinking. You're not drugging. You're not carousing. You're not in bedrooms. You're not smoking. Oh, come on. Listen, when God does that mighty work in you, that's when you can glorify Him. Can I get an amen? You can magnify Him. You can bless His holy name, for He's holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. How many believe He's coming again? He's coming again. Hallelujah. And He's coming soon. He's coming soon for His church. That's why we need to be ready. We need to be equipped. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is time not to play church, but be the church. This is time to get right or get left. That's not a political slogan. Get right with Him or get left behind.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We need to be the real deal. People need to see a hope. But when they look at us and we're still partying with them, still drinking with them, still hanging out with people that curse, that chew and all that, where's your walk with him? What do they actually see? Do they know you even go to church? Have you invited them? Have you told them to get right with God, that he's coming soon, that he's coming to judge? Or are you going to be left there in that group and he comes? Wow. That's like having your hand inside the cookie jar and you just got caught. Saints, God is coming. How many believe he's coming? How many believe he's coming again? And so I leave you with this last scripture right up here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So you got to ask yourself this. You know how you can tell? It's a self-check barometer. You know how you can tell I'm getting closer to God and I want to get closer to God? What's in your music inventory? Is it praise and worship? Yep. Mm-hmm. Or is it beepity blop blop beepity blop? Yeah. Yeah. Is it still worldly? Yeah. Is it still sitting in the park waiting for you? Is it still all that? Come on, you got to ask yourself, where's my heart? This is for all of us in here. What I share here is for me too. This is not just you, it's for me that we need to get right before God. Can I get an amen? Because he's coming soon and I don't want to get my hand caught in the cookie jar. I need to know that God could come anytime. And that I'm worshiping him, I'm praising him, I'm loving him. My heart is bent toward him. That I want to see him. But if you don't want to see him face to face, you're going to want to do the things of the world. That's going to bring more joy to you than him. But if you are serious about him, you want to do the things and learn. It's not going to happen overnight. Learn the things that he loves. Because it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. It's not a crash course. It's learning every day. Learning how to love him. Learning how to praise him. Learning how to get closer to him. Because none of us will be perfect. But the perfect one is coming. How many can't wait to know that the perfect one is coming? And so at this time, we're going to give an opportunity to those who are on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you haven't given your heart to the Lord. Maybe it's time to get right or get left. And I didn't say this in a political sense. I said it in a spiritual sense. Get right with God to be with him forevermore. Or get left behind when he comes for the church. You don't want to be in that position. It's going to only get worse from that point on. The Bible tells me in Revelation that those who do receive Christ during the tribulation will have to get their head lopped off. I'd rather humble myself now when we only have to bend our knees or just cry out to him. But when the church is gone, there's going to be a whole lot of wailing going on. Just imagine all the people you shared Christ with, and then we're gone in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And they're going to remember everything that we spoke of. They're going to realize that we truly loved them. And we did everything we could to help them. But then ultimately, it's going to be them and God, face to face. And so if that's you, we're going to give you that opportunity to say yes to the Lord. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will give you that same opportunity He has given us. We are now heaven bound, and there's a hell to shun. And maybe this is time for you to say, you know what? I can't live this life no more. I need God. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me now so that we can pray for you. Bow your head and your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Woo, He's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.